97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, final hour of the show. Remember, we'll announce number 51 in our top 60 and 60 coming up next. By the way, you a big Phil Steele fan, by the way?
Yeah.
You think he knows his stuff?
Yeah, I do. I think he works hard. I don't think anybody can do large scale with perfection.
I don't either, but I do know that he'll spend about an hour, hour and a half on the phone with every coach.
Yeah.
At the FBS level throughout the summer. And so I respect the hustle and the work that he puts into it.
I know he works really hard on it. I'm kind of tasked with really focusing on BYU and Utah with obviously the role of following along with Utah State. You fill in a lot of the gaps with Utah State and know them better than anybody here in the state. But just trying to keep tabs on full roster for Utah and BYU, it can be a little bit dizzying at times just to try to identify the talent and feel good about things. But, yeah, I do. And you're right. He does a lot of footwork to try to nail down the numbers. So I have a lot of respect for him.
Well, his ranking starting to come out on position groups, and I know that he has Utah as a top five offensive line position group going into the season. Now, without breaking down everybody else that's in the top 10, should Utah's offensive line be in that conversation?
Probably a little bit high. It's probably a little bit high. But, you know, you had Nick Ford who returned. He was draft eligible, and he returned. And everybody's excited about Bam Olesinski's progression.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I wonder if Phil Steele was talking with the coaches, because – if you're talking to any coaches at the University of Utah, you know that Bam Olesinski had a really good spring ball, looks really good, and has come a long way. So he and Simi Mawala will be fighting back and forth. And then you've got Jaron Kump that's really in the mix. The coaches love him. There's two guys at the left guard position, Braden Daniels and Keaton Mills. You know I love Keaton Mills' game. You know that Braden Daniels has been around for a long time. So you throw those guys in, and then you take into account that you've got guys with starting experience in Orlando Umana and Johnny Maya. Remember, both those guys have had starting experience. I think a lot of people were surprised that Orlando Umana wasn't going to be starting at center and that they'd move Nick Ford in there. It might be a little bit high for top five in the country, but I think you could pretty safely explain top 20. You could pretty safely.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Top 20 with who all's returning and the depth that they've got. I'm a fan of Jim Harding.
Well, there's one thing that I know a lot of people that are involved in gambling in college football will look at in terms of Phil Steele.
Yeah.
Is that they will look at those opening round or that opening day games, and they'll look at if there's a huge discrepancy in returning offensive linemen. If one team has a high level and another team doesn't. So, you know, you're playing a lot of these, you know, cross-conference games where there's not a lot of game film. And a lot of guys in Vegas will look at that and say, okay, this team's got a lot of returning starters that have had a lot of games under their belt. And Phil Steele does it's one of the first things I look at going into a season is how many returning starts do you have? And if you see some huge discrepancies between teams – in the first week of the season, that's like, and again, entertainment purposes only, that's like shooting fish in a barrel sometimes.
Yeah.
When you look at lines.
I agree, and this is a good one. A lot of returning experience, and they should be good. You're hoping that it's not one of those Utah offensive lines that gets a little bit of praise and underperforms. We've seen a couple of those happen.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this is one that's getting good praise and performs just above their praise. And I do think that that's a possibility. And Nick Ford at the center position through spring was fantastic. I think the coaches are really excited about that.
When I was down at BYU, there was a talk of, well, we lost these guys, three guys that are going to be on NFL rosters coming up next year on the offensive line. But the guys that are coming back may not have had a lot of starting opportunities, but they had a lot of games under their belt. And, you know, and so, you know, you move Barrington to left and LeChance to right, and you got Empey anchoring the center position. There's still a ton of confidence that, okay, we may not have the accolades that we were getting last year going into the season in terms of offensive line, but this is still a really good group.
really good offensive line at BYU. You were talking about do I have trust and confidence in Phil Steele? Phil Steele had BYU's offensive line from last year preseason ranked number 16. He had him as the 16th best offensive line in the country going into that season, which I think that's pretty close, pretty accurate. Obviously had a top-round pick for the NFL and Brady Christensen, a guy that decided to return, and James Impey probably could have snuck into the draft. Sixth round is the rating that I had on James Impey. And so he came back, given another year. You mentioned Clark Barrington. Clark's going to be a draft pick, I think, in a year.
Well, you love that guy's frame.
I do. I like his frame, and I like his aggression. He just has to get – he needs to get some consistency going. So that's a pretty good pick. You know, I thought it was interesting. Phil Steele had BYU as the 24th ranked QB situation going into the 2020 season. And that was with Zach Wilson, Jaren Hall, and Baylor Romney. Now, you still have two of those as an option, but you throw in Jacob Conover as that third name. But even Phil Steele didn't see Zach Wilson coming the way he came.
No. Well, I mean, you go back and look, you and I were pretty comfortable in saying that Zach Wilson was going to be the guy. It kind of has the same feel this year with Jaren Hall. But Jaren Hall is not the – he's the guy, and he's going to be the quarterback going into next season. Same last year with Zach Wilson. Like, we all assumed it was going to be Zach Wilson. But at media – well, I guess it really wasn't a media day last year because of COVID. But the talk going into the season was, hey, look, it's going to be a competition. Jaren did some good things when Zach was hurt. Baylor went to Boise State and beat the Broncos when everybody was hurt. All these guys deserve to get a shot at this thing. So it wasn't like they just handed it over to Zach. I mean, Zach had to go out and earn it. But that also shows that there was still some uncertainty there going into the season. Now, it may not have been a ton, but just a bit. And I think the same thing going into this year. And so I think it goes to show, like, how great Zach was in taking over that position. And when he was finally healthy, just blowing everybody out of the water.
Yeah. And he did. If you re-rank BYU's QB situation off last year, do you put him up there as one of the top five based off of what Zach Wilson did and the depth that you had?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Had Zach Wilson gone down? I don't think number 24 is way off.
No, I don't think so.
Especially considering what we knew at the time. Number 24 might have been a lot higher than a lot of people would have probably given him. So – yeah, I do. I've got some respect for Phil Steele. I was looking at their linebacker situation going in. He had him preseason number 36 last year. And I thought that linebacking crew did a very solid job last year. He had the wide receiver situation. He had the wide receivers at not ranked in the top 61. So did not rank BYU's wide receivers last year. BYU's wide receivers, and I don't know where he's got them ranked this year, but BYU's wide receivers should be ranked probably in the top 25.
I mean, you add the Nakua's with Neil Pau, and who else am I missing?
A wide Romney.
Receiver. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gunnar Romney, who's probably going to be the number one guy.
Yeah. So that's a lot of depth there, right? I mean,
yeah.
A lot of depth, a lot of experience. Trying to think of anybody else that's coming.
Does he add the tight end to the wide receiver position, or is that on its own?
That's on its own, I think.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if he added that, you've got to throw in Isaac Rex.
Because I think you throw Rex into the mix.
Dallin Holker.
I mean, that tight end group's going to be good as well.
Yeah, Holker coming back from a mission is pretty exciting. Having Isaac Rex and Dallin Holker,
yeah.
That's a great jumbo set. That's a great dual threat on the ends from that tight end position.
I know we'll do a college football over-under, you know, maybe a season over-under before the season starts. But let me ask you this. Does Jaren Hall, and you heard A-Rod talk about how, what did he say, they did the numbers and less than 20% of college football teams has a starter that starts every game for them.
Yep.
The entire year.
No, 20 teams.
20 teams.
Out of 130.
Okay, so yeah. Less than 20%.
Yep.
Where is your confidence level that Jaren Hall, if he is the starter week one, whether it be injury or inefficiency, starts every game this year?
Less than 20%.
It just
more than 10%.
It almost feels like you got away with one last year with Zach Wilson, and so sooner or later, the bill comes due on your quarterbacks.
Well, and you worry about Jaren Hall's overall health.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some things that have kept Jaren Hall away from the game, and I worry about his physical makeup, and I worry about his ability to stay on the field. He's got to make some really good decisions. Go watch a lot of Russell Wilson film.
Well, it was part of my conversation with him, too, about where do you draw that line when I chatted with him last week. And he made a really good point where it's like, you know, I've got to play my game, but I've got to be smart. And then I asked it, but I also added, I said, look, I get it, though. Like, there's a lot of people that are going to tell you how to play, but fourth quarter, you're down four, and you see a lane open up, and it's third and, you know, it's third and four, and you need to get those 5 yards. You're going to get those 5 yards. Yeah. Like, you're going to lay out to get it. Yeah. And he's like, I am, and that's not going to change.
What I'd do is I would pull up Robert Griffin, the third film,
say,
and I'd
say, don't do this.
No. And then I'd pull up Russell Wilson film, and I'd say, yes. You know what I'd tell him, too? I'd say, I don't want you watching any Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I know.
Zach Wilson took too many hits. He was bold, man. Dude is bold, but he's tough. And remember, he had broke his hand the year before.
Yeah.
And he's dealt with his own pains and bruises, but he just – I want people to know that Zach Wilson has a resilience, a deep inner toughness that probably has not been talked about enough. And Jaren Hall needs to know, I'm not Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
I've already dealt with health trouble. I'm dealing with areas of health that you can't mess around with as a quarterback. You know, just in the core area, in the hips, in the quads, in shifting and taking those hits in the core. Can't do it. Game one against Arizona, I'll have a much – right now, like I think about Jaren Hall and what his mindset is and how he's going to attack the game. I give it 10, 15, 20% of him making it through the season unscathed. After game one, I'll be able to give you a much better depiction of that based off of how he plays against Arizona. Game two is going to tell us everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think game one, like Arizona is going to be picked to finish last in the division, don't you think, in the Pac-12?
Yep.
And so if there's some struggles against Arizona, then that could be some cause for concern.
Yeah, and if he's taking hits against Arizona.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hanging out with Bob once again. Bob, how you doing?
Doing really well. How about you guys?
Doing well. So what do you, if you were to go out and kind of rank, or not rank, but like the percentage of what you're working on the most, is it James Hardy, do you believe?
We do a lot of James Hardy. Believe it or not, Rain Gutter is probably the majority of our company. Probably 55 to 60%. So not a vast majority, but we've got, you know, three separate divisions. We've got our siding division, then I run our stucco and stone divisions. And then Rain Gutter is, like I said, probably about 60% of it, I believe.
If I wanted to get new gutters on my roof, what am I looking at now? As far as time.
Time-wise, we're probably...
So if I scheduled now...
You're probably 8 to 12 weeks, I would imagine.
So that's why Scotty and I are really getting out to our listeners right now.
Right, right. And keep in mind, especially on the rain gutter side, it seems like any time after Labor Day, the lead time just goes crazy.
That's exactly it.
Homeowners will be like, oh, winter's coming. We've got to get this done. So we get, usually, you know, we always kind of make a joke. The first storm after Labor Day, all of a sudden, here we go.
Everybody wants new gutters.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people forget, and I've told my story, like my house is really conducive to ice dams.
Right.
And it's a problem. And so I had to get some heat cables or tape or whatever you call it to get that taken care of. And I did, you know, the first year we had, I'm like, okay, I got to get that taken care of. And then it was about Labor Day when I'm like, ooh, I should have done that earlier. If you call right now, get on the books, you're going to have that done before that storm hits.
Chances are, you know, we'll be able to get you in before it starts freezing. You know, if you do wait till crunch time Labor Day, there's there's no guarantee there's a good chance you're going to be getting the installation done around Christmas time, which we go all year long, and we're prepared to deal with, you know, with the wintertime months, and we, you know, we always go all year long. So, you know, but it is definitely better if you're having damage issues to get on, to get going right now.
Right now, make the phone call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. And speaking of rain gutters, and Tim, we've talked to Tim about this a bunch, there's a lot of products out there that people can install that they say will, you know, the leaves and stuff will just wash over. And the ones that you guys install, it's a great quality. You guys install it right. But you got to make sure you get the right product and the right installation, because if not, you can cause more problems than good with those things.
Absolutely correct. You know, if it is not installed correct, it will actually clog up even worse and, you know, create or promote, I should say, ice damming or whatnot in the wintertime. You know, the leaf protection systems that we offer come with lifetime guarantees as far as cloggage goes. So, you know, there's a lot of backing to that from manufacturers.
Call right now, 801-280-3110. Get on the books, 801-280-3110. It's RGS Exteriors right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, thanks for making us part of your Wednesday. Week's almost halfway over. Our next selection in our top 60 and 60 is number 51, and it is time to announce it now.
This is the top 60 and 60. As The Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 college football season.
We're gonna have a good time.
And now, it's time for today's selection. Hans Olsen is a happy man today as our first offensive lineman makes the list of 60. Our next selection will help lead a reloaded offensive line in Logan and is key to getting the offense back and running in 2021. Coming in at number 51, from Utah State University, 6'3", 320-pound offensive lineman, Demetric Ali'ifua. Utah State University head coach, Blake Anderson.
Mick is the grandfather in the room. He's the alpha leader in the O-line room, could play really any spot up there. He's been phenomenal for us. I think he has a true opportunity to play at the next level with just a little bit of consistency because he's got the toughness and the power. I know it's something he wants to do. Absolutely has to be a leader for us in the O-line room and on the offensive side.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
So Demetric Ali'ifua on that Utah State offensive line makes the list. He is at number 51, and he is kind of your Swiss Army knife on offensive line. He has played center. He can go. He's played multiple different positions across the board. I think they'll have him dialed in at center going forward.
What's his? Is he 6'3", 295 guy?
He's a little bit over 300.
So he's over three bills.
Yeah.
I just remember he plays pretty fit, doesn't he?
He's very fit. Yep.
And as Coach Anderson mentioned, I can definitely remember seeing him on the field. Loves to finish blocks. Very good feet and loves to finish blocks. That good aggression. That nastiness that you would hope and expect for from a veteran, senior-led offensive lineman. I'm hoping that he can continue to be that nasty player that he has been. Because if I'm remembering right, Scotty, he's he's the guy that loves to finish. Finish yeah. dudes in the dirt.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Got a little nastiness to him.
Definitely remember watching him play. So I've got a lot of hopes for that kid. And as Coach Anderson mentioned, it sounds like he's expressed to Coach Anderson that he wants to play in the league. At least that's what Coach yep. Anderson mentioned. He said, hey, he's got a real want to. And usually coaches won't mention that unless a kid's been like, hey, coach, this is what I want to do, so tell me how I can get there.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he's got some really good goals set for himself.
Offensive line is going to be really interesting for Utah State this year. I think they've got some good players on that O-line, not a lot of depth. And so I think the one thing, if you're a Utah State fan, you need to keep an eye on is injuries on that offensive line. If there's some issues, it's going to be a problem because they're bringing in some youth and they're trying to develop it, and they're not where they need to be depth-wise there. And that's going to be a bit of a problem going forward.
Did they pull any Porter offensive linemen?
They do. They do have some portal guys. I've not got updates on how well and what they expect out of those guys. But, yeah, there are some.
But they did try to fill some gaps.
Yeah, I think they got a guy from Michigan, I want to say, that was an old lineman.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing about Utah State. I've not done the total on transfers, but they hit the portal hard because they knew they needed a huge influx of talent.
What is Blake Anderson's passion as a coach? Like, is he a quarterback's guy? Is he a, you know, because like.
He's a scheme guy, and I don't know, and I should know his history a little bit better.
I don't know if it came from
the quarterbacks, but he loves this offense that he's going to run, and he doesn't think there's a lot of teams that do the spread and go fast on the western part of the United States, but he thinks that what they do and the complexities of what they do in the short amount of time that they have between plays. There's a feeling up there that there's not a lot of teams on the western part of the United States that run this offense the way that they are going to run it, and that it's going to take some time for teams to adjust. Like, you know, talk from an offensive line standpoint. You know, you got an O lineman that when Yost was running the offense, they just kind of knew where they needed to be, and there wasn't a lot of calls at the line. They're asking these guys to go fast and also making calls at the line of scrimmage as well. From an O-line standpoint.
So maybe more man scheme than zone yeah. scheme. That is going to be very tough for this offensive line, but if they can do it, I think it could be very successful. Because one thing that breaks down a drive when you're running zone schemes, one thing that will break down a drive is our zone-breaking blitzes.
Yeah.
Where you'll step to an area and you're going to have some type of overstep and a misstep off a zone blitz that's going to break you. And if you can man up, but here's the other problem, man. You have one missed assignment. That does break it that way.
Break it that way too, yeah.
So he's a scheme guy.
Yeah, yep. And, the offensive coordinator they brought in from Central Florida is all about the offense that you've seen Central Florida do a lot of great things over the last several years.
Hoping we can get up there for some fall scrimmage.
Yeah, no doubt.
I want to see this team scrimmage. And I want to see, because remember, we were up there for some fall scrimmaging when Yost made the run with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And we could see their intentions in that fall scrimmage. I want to see this team scrimmaging. I really am curious how these portal kids are going to unify. Especially if you're trying to start two of them on an offensive line.
Yeah.
But I do like this Alifua. He's going to be an impressive guy this year.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Time for Total Recall, brought to you by our good friends over at Davis Vision Center. Right now, you can get $1,000 off LASIK. All you have to do is go to davisvisionmd.com for more information on that. Let's start with you and I talking about the Jazz with some big decisions. One of those is how much money are they going to spend via the luxury tax? Back in the day when Larry H. Miller used to do those weekly interviews, I sat in on one. Somebody's on vacation. And I asked him that, like, what's it like when you hear people talk about how to spend your money? And he's like, well, you know, it's their right as a fan. He goes, I just look at it now as numbers on a spreadsheet. Yeah. Like, I can't think of it as actual dollars. I just, because there was one off season where he spent like a
quarter of $1 billion on signings and re-signings and extensions. And it's when AK got his big, you know, albatross of a contract extension.
And he probably knew at that point he wasn't building an NBA championship team.
And that's the hard part, too, is when you sign somebody and you realize, okay, well, this, I mean, I've got to spend money on somebody and I can't get the one player I want or the player we need, but this guy will help us stay relevant and keep us good, but it's not going to get us over the hump. That's got to be the tough ones. And you see those every year.
See, I thought going back, whatever it was, maybe it's 8 years ago, 10 years ago, when Prokhorov bought the Nets and just came in and spent and said, I don't care what the tax is. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to get every player that I can. Now, he just went about it the wrong way. He put together the wrong team. But he went in just spending as much as he could spend, as much as he needed to spend to put together a roster, and it yielded him nothing.
Yeah.
He had nothing to show for it. And that's got to be the most difficult thing. Ryan Smith comes across to me as an incredibly intelligent businessman. And I don't care if it is the Utah Jazz and the NBA. I've got to imagine he wants some return of on his investment.
Yeah. I think he's happy to spend money. He just wants to see.
He wants to see the production.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think the second round exit this year maxed out what he believed this team had capabilities of doing. I think it was a quicker exit than he probably expected, considering the regular season record, the one seed, the home court advantage, and everything that went along with it. Probably a little bit of a letdown and disappointment. If you put Truth Serum in him, that's would be my guess. And I try to put myself in ownership shoes, which is a really weird thing to do, because the backlogs that they understand and know, the depth of rosters and salaries and the way it all works, I know it goes way beyond what I would know. But if this was my team and I was spending money on it, I'd be disappointed with that exit.
So, and we've touched on this last couple of days, and I think Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck and everybody else in that Jazz front office, they have to ask themselves one big question. If we're healthy, are we playing for an NBA championship? And I thought you said this great earlier on Monday. If the hamstring isn't a problem, Donovan Mitchell's ankle doesn't get injured, are the Jazz playing the Phoenix Suns right now in the Western Conference Finals and have an opportunity to win that series and move on? Are the Jazz the best team in the NBA, or, you know, one of two of the best teams in the NBA if healthy? If you are, and you feel that way, and you said we just had bad luck, that's what knocked us out of the Western Conference semifinals, then you try to bring everybody back and make another run of this thing and maybe tweak some things here and there. But if you're like, hey, look, yeah, they were injured, but we saw some fundamental flaws with guys that couldn't stay in front of dudes. Royce O'Neal played great, but Joe Ingles did not. Jordan Clarkson, great offensively, but is a liability on the defensive side. We need to address these issues, and we need to fix this, and then get everybody else healthy and make the next step. Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself that, because right now you've got a team that, outside of Mike Conley, you can bring back and try to make another run of this thing, and then go and then pay that money in the luxury tax for Mike Conley, realizing that when if he stays healthy and Donovan stays healthy, we're right there.
Total Recall right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, looking back at prior conversations here on the show today. Jazz have some tough decisions to make. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out.
There's a part of me that wants them to run it back. There's a part of me that wants them to find a way to re-sign Mike Conley and keep the group together, keep the band together, and see if you can make a run and maybe manage your talent differently. I'm not even going to say better, because I think Quinn Snyder did the best he could. But manage guys' health and manage their minutes, I don't know. I don't even know if that really helps in the long run. Might extend careers, but I don't know how much you could have avoided what happened to Donovan Mitchell's ankle, or how much you could have avoided what happened to Mike Conley's hamstring. But maybe manage it differently or the best you can, which I know Quinn already did that. I mean, it probably sounds lame for me to even suggest it, because I'm just trying to throw out ideas. If you're going to run it back, you just want to run it back with the hopes of having Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert 100% healthy and ready.
Yeah.
The teams that we've seen make a run typically have that. Now, Phoenix is doing it in these last two games without Chris Paul, but largely through the regular season and through the postseason, they've had their complement.
Yeah.
The Clippers have gotten caught up in it now, losing Kawhi Leonard, which is weird because I thought that the Kawhi Leonard's knee was gone, and I thought he was done. But the Clippers keep leaving it out there, like, he's out for this game.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. It's a good point.
I kind of thought that it'd be like, hey, we're going to just go ahead and say it. That knee was bad.
Yeah.
But the Clippers are caught up in it now. And so there's a part of me that really wants to see the Jazz run it back. I'm a big fan of this group.
Yeah, I am too. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Final segment next. Get you ready for Jake and Gordon right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Win.
It's a Win Ticket Wednesday on the Zone Sports Network. It's a Win Ticket Wednesday right here.
Win.
Listen all day for the Win Ticket Wednesday sounder for your chance to win tickets.
What? Who authorized that?
To all the biggest concerts, games, and other great events here in the state of Utah. It's a Win Ticket Wednesday right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Woo!
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hanson Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. By the way, today is the 25th anniversary of the release of the Nintendo 64. Did you play on that bad boy at all?
Is that the original?
No, that's not the original.
What's?
This was the 64.
I had that one. I had Blitz on that. I had one game. Had that box in one game.
I had that, and what was it? The
oh,
first
007.
Shooting. Yes, GoldenEye.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, that was a good game.
I had that and 007. That was all I had. That's all I needed for that.
I would play Madden on that, and yes.
That's all you needed, Hans?
That's all I
and
needed.
And this phone book. That's all
that's
I
all
need.
That's all I need is this console and Blitz.
And I don't need any of you.
And I don't need anything else except for this console and Blitz and 007 GoldenEye. That's all I need.
My nephew was in like third or fourth grade and would just obliterate me on GoldenEye on that game, and I get so mad at him. He'd laugh, ha ha. I'm like, hey,
that game hasn't held up well.
Well, no,
I played it like 2 years ago. I'm like, this is terrible.
Pretty much any game that came out 25 years ago is not going to hold up very well.
You know what else doesn't hold up is Doom. Did you play Doom back in the day?
I did not play Doom.
Doom's terrible. I went back to try to play it. I'm like, this is worse than. What's that stupid game these kids throw blocks around and build houses now?
Oh, man.
Minecraft,
yeah.
That's still better graphics than Doom. I was watching my kids play Minecraft.
Yeah, same.
Like, everything you've got in the world right now, and you got this square sheep that you're kicking around. But, meh, and they kick a sheep, and I'm like, that's what you're doing?
I know. I'm with you. My youngest plays Minecraft, and I'm like, you have a Xbox One or whatever the latest thing is, and you're playing that trash. What are you doing? I could go back and get an old NES, and we could play that game.
Hearing Hans snub his nose at graphics for video games is quite hilarious.
Why?
Considering you're rocking an iPhone 2, like,
I'm
it's
not,
pretty funny.
I'm
he
not
doesn't
an
have
iPhone
an iPhone. That's no, not giving that much credit.
The last iPhone I had was an iPhone 4. But this thing is a...
You're, like, working on the original Android, aren't you?
My kid asked you for a video, which you were kind enough to provide, and my 14-year-old's like, Han says he can't send me a video. What phone does he have?
Don't do this, Scotty.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he's like, what phone doesn't send video? And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's a long story.
Nothing to see
I got
here.
The video to him.
Yeah.
I had to do it a different way. I had to film it on
via
something
else. Telegram.
No, I sent it through... a direct message on Twitter, because I can do that from a different phone. I figured it out. I figured it out.
From my wife's iPhone.
This thing is an LG, is what it, this is. It's an LG.
More like OG.
Original gangsta.
That's not funny. So I walked in on my son playing a game where you're flying around on a...
Maybe, yeah, okay, let's... What? Maybe just...
What?
You make me so nervous sometimes.
No, I walked in on my son playing a video game where he's like flying around on a dead goat. No, it's a dead goat. And I said, what is this? He said it's called the Dead Goat Simulator.
And dead goat simulator?
Yeah, have you heard of this game?
No, I've not heard of that game.
Yeah, this goat goes around town and bumps into cars and stuff, and it's dead. What kind of dumb... Pull up Goat Simulator, I think.
Dead Goat Simulator.
The game. Dead Goat or Goat Simulator. And what you do, I guess,
be
is...
Be careful, please.
Like you're a guy and you carry a goat in your hand and you hit the goat into cars and stuff and gain points. Stuff
wow.
Like that. Are you looking at it?
No, I think I found it. It's not Dead Goat. It's just Goat Simulator.
Goat Simulator.
And I think you're just a goat and you run into stuff.
Yeah, that's it. That's the game. And I was like, son, what are you doing? And he's like, Dad.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. That was me.
Was that music from a Goat Simulator?
No, it was the ad on YouTube trying to watch some Goat Simulator.
I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm not doing anything. And I'm like, turn that off. But it wasn't a situation where I ripped the cord out of the wall. I haven't had that moment yet. That's I know you've had that moment.
Yeah. Wow. This is a really stupid game.
I'm glad that you see it as such.
Now he's DJing.
Yeah, that's the game. The goat just flies around and hits into cars and has balloons on its neck. And it's dead most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Really strange game, buddy.
Well, with that.
Oh, really quick. Game one, Hawks, Bucks tonight. Who wins?
Bucks. Pretty easy.
Bucks, obviously, with home court advantage. Yep. The Milwaukee Bucks are an 8-point favorite tonight.
This goat is throwing people off a building.
Well, I can remember. It's a pretty feisty little goat.
Oh, now he's falling. Oh, now this goat's in trouble now.
Why has he got a Mickey Mouse head on?
Because he was DJing a club. All right, Bob's with us.
What are kids playing now,
Dave? I don't know, man. I would hate to walk in on my kid playing that.
That
game.
That's what I know. That's exactly it.
That
I was like,
horrifying.
Son, turn that off.
Do better. All right. Bob's with us once again. We're live here at RGS Exteriors. Bob, there's really nothing that you need done on the outside of your home that you guys can't get taken care of.
No, absolutely not. The only thing we do not do is roofing. But other than that, anything from the roof down, we do.
And you probably like put them in the right direction of a good roofer too. If
we know quite a few. Yeah, we actually have a couple of really good roofers that we love to recommend to do a lot of work with.
We talked about the gutters and everybody. You know, early fall we're going to start getting some rain.
Right.
Late fall we're going to get some snow. And then you're going to be like, man, I should have taken care of those gutters. I just want to put it in everybody's mind right now. We can get your gutters done before the rain, before the snow, but you got to do it now.
Yes. Well, on the last segment, just so you know, I misspoke on our lead time. We are 6 to 8 weeks out on the rain gutter section. So
okay.
Instead of 9 to 12, but it will grow very quickly.
Yeah. That jumps up the first rain you get at the end of summer, beginning of fall, and everybody
thinking about wintertime.
And by the way, if you've got gutter things that you need to fix, you might as well throw some of those heating cords on where the ice dams have popped up and caused you problems in the past.
Yeah, we can definitely assess that and, you know, see if it is a necessity and, you know, get that taken care of for you if you definitely need it.
Well, call right now. Again, it doesn't matter the style or what you're looking to do, from James Hardy to stucco to whatever stone. You've got it all and you're ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll.
Let's do it. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. Call that number right now, 801-280-3110. Big show coming up next. This has been Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.